How did a noble bird like the turkey wind up as a slang term for things preposterously awful? Our rock and roll historian Ed Ward says he doesn't know, but on this Thanksgiving Day, his mind has turned to rock and roll turkeys.
Turkeydom is a product of the late 60s, right around the time when the Beatles broke up. At that point, the industry decided that there was going to be a giant hole in the rock universe, a hole that could be filled by a group that was significant, tasteful, and that spoke directly to the kids. And so the hype machine went to work. Now, sometimes hype would go awry on a perfectly innocent band. Take Kippington Lodge, which had just changed its name to Brinsley Schwartz after its guitarist and signed to a major label. The label hired a company called Fame Pushers Limited to fly a plane load of British journalists to New York to see Brinsley Schwartz play the Fillmore East. The band was hardly ready for such star treatment, but the problem was compounded by the fact that Fame Pushers didn't give the journalists any time to deal with jet lag before the show, not to mention that it had been an awful flight, and New York in midwinter is hardly paradise. Only because Brinsley Schwartz was as good as they were did they survive the beating they took. More often, though, it was the bands themselves who took their own press too seriously and became ponderously significant. Occasionally, it was out of desperation. The Electric Prunes, a bunch of guys hired to fulfill a contract when the actual band, the Electric Prunes, broke up, recorded David Axelrod's Mass in F Minor in 1967. It remained a low point in Catholic liturgy until 1970, when the British band Spooky Tooth joined French electronic composer Pierre Henry and recorded Ceremony, a Requiem Mass. Finally, in 1971, Leonard Bernstein proved with his classical rock fusion Mass that it wasn't only the rockers who were confused. The classical rock fusion, in fact, provided hours of excruciating listening. Not only was there Emerson, Lake, and Palmer doing violence to the classics, but there were also such monstrosities as Deep Purple's 1970 Concerto for Rock Band and Orchestra, undertaken with the Royal Philharmonic. And who could forget Procol Harum live in concert with the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra, try as one might. Then there were bands like Ars Nova and the New York Rock and Roll Ensemble, who were neither classical nor rock, nor popular, nor interesting. But where classical music and rock really produced turkeys was with the rock opera. The rock opera was born when Pete Townshend of The Who announced in 1966 that he was writing an opera for the band. When it failed to appear immediately, somebody named Keith West got to work and released a single entitled Excerpt from a Teenage Opera. It sank without trace, and fortunately the rest of the opera never appeared either, although unfortunately The Who did come out with Tommy in 1969. Pretentious, padded, and loaded with histrionic moments for Roger Daltrey, it's still the best rock opera. Of course, the competition includes such horrors as a rock opera of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds featuring Richard Burton and Thin Lizzy's Phil Lynott, Percy, a rock opera by the Kinks about the world's first penis transplant, Everything by Andrew Lloyd Webber, and The Who's other rock opera, Quadrophenia, which was at least a good movie. But leading the list of rock opera turkeys has to be The Naked Carmen, starring Melba Moore, a now-forgotten band called Pig Iron, the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, and a children's tap dance troupe from Harlem, all doing a rock reconceptualization of Bizet's poor opera. Elaborately packaged and utterly unlistenable, it stood out even in 1970s Turkey Parade. And what about supergroups? Blind Faith broke up almost as soon as it debuted, leaving the field open for such lawyerly-sounding outfits as Souther Hillman and Furay, or West Bruce and Lang, or Bogart Beck and Apiece. Right down to today's Damn Yankees featuring Ted Nugent, Tommy Shaw from Styx, and some guy from Night Ranger, the one thing you can count on from a supergroup is that it sure won't be super. How about super hypes? Remember Joe Bryath? A true fairy, the ads said, but he still failed to become America's gay superstar. Or Klaatu, the mysterious band Capital never quite came out and said was the reunited Beatles, mostly because anybody could tell from their album that they weren't. And who could forget Pink Lady, the Japanese duo who were going to conquer America with their charm, their singing, their dancing, their television show, everything, in fact, except the English language, which nobody had taught them. Oh, speaking of Japan, let's thank them for making available once again on a single CD Lou Reed's notorious turkey, Metal Machine Music, over an hour of a single harsh grating sound. And if the inside of Metal Machine Music was bad, the outside of Vinnie Riley's The Return of the Durruti Column album was worse. It's made of coarse industrial sandpaper and destroys any album it's stored with. In fact, eventually it destroys itself with stray pieces of grit from its cover. But Thanksgiving is about more than turkey. It's about giving thanks. And today, I've given each and every one of you something to give thanks for. I haven't played you a note from any of these albums. Out of deference to your appetite, I won't either.
Ed Ward writes for the Austin Chronicle.